Welcome to Zichru Daf Simani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Zecher Shabbos, Daf Kuf Tes. So the three topics we're going to focus on are point number one, a brice at the bottom of Kuf Ches on the base listed parts of the body such as the eyes, nose, and ears that should not be touched in the morning before washing one's hands, because a ruach ra, a spirit called bas melech, rests on the hands and causes harm. And a brice on this daf, Rabbi Nassan said, bas chorin hizo makbedes ad shiyuchos yadav gimu pamim. This spirit is a free agent and insists on remaining until one washes his hands three times. Rabbeinu Hananel explains that it commands respect among the other spirits, like a free man among people. Point number two, the Gemara brings a teaching from Mar Ukva, who said that one who injured his hand or foot should not hesitate to reduce his swelling with wine on Shabbos, because wine is not an effective treatment. The Gemara then relates that Rav Hillel told Rav Ashi that he learned in the academy of Rav Kahana that it is forbidden to use vinegar because it is an effective treatment. Subsequently, Ravina once visited Rav Ashi in his home and saw that a donkey had stepped on Rav Ashi's foot and that Rav Ashi was using vinegar to reduce its swelling. So when Ravina asked Rav Ashi if he doesn't agree with Rav Hillel that using vinegar is prohibited, Rav Ashi responded, Gav hayad v'gav ha-regoshani. A wound on the back of the hand on top of the foot is different, meaning it's more dangerous and can be life-threatening. And Rashi explains, therefore one can be machal Shabbos in this case. Point number three, the Gemara brings conflicting braises, with one stating that it's permitted to bathe in the Yam HaGadol in the Mediterranean on Shabbos for therapeutic reasons, and the other stating that it's forbidden to do so. So after two possible resolutions are rejected, the Gemara answers that the braise that permits bathing in the Yam HaGadol was referring to its fine waters. Rashi explains that people would wash in those waters even during the week, not for therapeutic reasons, and therefore would not be recognizable that one is doing so for a cure. The braise that prohibits bathing in the Yam HaGadol was referring to its foul parts, where it would be clear to others that one's intent is for healing purposes and not merely for bathing. So once again, the three points are number one, a braise at the bottom of Kuf Ches on base listed parts of the body, such as the eyes, nose, and ears, that should not be touched in the morning before washing one's hands, because a ruach ra, a spirit called bas melech, rests on the hands and causes harm. And a braise on this daf, Rabbi Nassan said, bas chorin hizo makbedes ad shiyuchos yadav gimu pamim. This spirit is a free agent and insists on remaining until one washes his hands three times. Rabbeinu Hanan explains that it commands respect among the other spirits, like a free man among people. Point number two, the Gemara brings a teaching from Mar Ukva, who said that one who injured his hand or foot should not hesitate to reduce his swelling with wine on Shabbos, because wine is not an effective treatment. The Gemara then relates that Rav Hillel told Rav Ashi that he learned in the Academy of Rav Kahana that it is forbidden to use vinegar because it is an effective treatment. Subsequently, Ravina once visited Rav Ashi in his home and saw that a donkey had stepped on Rav Ashi's foot and that Rav Ashi was using vinegar to reduce its swelling. When Ravina asked Rav Ashi if he does not agree with Rav Hillel that using vinegar is prohibited, Rav Ashi responded, Gav hayad v'gav ha-regol sha'ani, a wound on the back of the hand or on top of the foot is different, it's more dangerous, can be life-threatening, and therefore Rashi explains that one can be machal Shabbos in this case. And point number three, the Gemara brings conflicting braises, with one stating that it's permitted to bathe in the Yam HaGadol on Shabbos for therapeutic reasons, and the other saying that it is forbidden to do so. After two possible resolutions are rejected, the Gemara answers that the braise that permits bathing in the Yam HaGadol was referring to its fine waters. Rashi explains that people would wash in those waters even during the week, not for therapeutic reasons, therefore it would not be recognizable that one's doing so for a cure. The braise that prohibits bathing in the Yam HaGadol was referring to its foul parts, where it would be clear to others that one's intent is for healing purposes and not merely for bathing. All right, so now we go to a sim for Kuf Tes, and we had a lot of good suggestions. We had cats and kittens, though I find them hard to work with in terms of a sim for some reason. We had kites, a lot of kittles, coats. Sam Yusupov from Woodmere suggested chef cutting chicken cutlets, ketchup, a kategor, catalogs, and then lots of different types of kits. We're going to go with actually a first aid kit, and three people, Yaakov Letter from Nofa Yalon, Jason Selesny from Herzliya, and Aaron Warso from Queens, who all suggested Hatzal with a first aid kit. So that's what we're going to use for Kuf Tes, a first aid kit, and Hatzal member with his first aid kit. So thank you very much, Yaakov, Jason, and Aaron. So here goes. When Hatzal got a call from someone who didn't wash their hands three times in the morning and subsequently had a donkey step on the top of their foot, the team took out some vinegar from their kit and told them to bathe in the Yam HaGadol. Once again, in slow motion. When Hatzal got a call, Hatzal, that means we're on Duff. Kuf Tes. When Hatzal got a call from someone who didn't wash their hands three times in the morning, which reminds us, a braise at the bottom of Kuf Ches Amud Beis listed parts of the body such as the eyes, nose, and ears that should not be touched in the morning before washing one's hands because a spirit called Bas Melech rests on the hands and causes harm. In a braise on this daf, Rabbi Nassan said, Bas Chorin Hizo Mekbedes Ad Shiyuchos Yadav Gimu Pami. The spirit is a free agent and insists on remaining until one washes his hands three times. Rabbeinu Hananel explains that it commands respect among the other spirits, like a free man among people. So when Atzal got a call from someone who didn't wash their hands 3 times in the morning, and subsequently had a donkey step on top of their foot, which reminds us the Gemara brings a teaching from our Ukba, who said that one who injured his hand or foot should not hesitate to reduce its swelling with wine on Shabbos, because wine is not an effective treatment. The Gemara then relates that Rav Hillel told Rav Ashi that he learned in the academy of Rav Kahana that it is forbidden to use vinegar because it is an effective treatment. Subsequently, Ravina once visited Rav Ashi in his home and saw that a donkey had stepped on Rav Ashi's foot and Rav Ashi was using vinegar to reduce its swelling. So when Ravina asked Rav Ashi if he doesn't agree with Rav Hillel that using vinegar is prohibited, Rav Ashi responded, Gav hayad v'gav haregel sha'ani. A wound on the back of the hand or on top of the foot is different, meaning it's more dangerous, can be life-threatening. Rashi explains that, therefore, one can be Machal Shabbos in this case. So when Hatzal got a call from someone who didn't wash their hands 3 times in the morning and subsequently had a donkey step on the top of their foot, the team took out some vinegar from their kit and told them to bathe in the Yom HaGadol. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings conflicting braises, with one stating that it's permitted to bathe in the Yom HaGadol on Shabbos for therapeutic reasons, on the other stating that it's forbidden to do so. So after 2 possible resolutions are rejected, the Gemara answers that the braisa that permits bathing in the Yom HaGadol was referring to its fine waters, its good waters. Rashi explains that people would wash in those waters even during the week, not for therapeutic reasons. Therefore, it wouldn't be recognizable that one is doing so for a cure. The braisa that prohibits bathing in the Yom HaGadol was referring to its foul parts, where it would be clear to others that one's intent is for healing purposes and not merely for bathing. So once again, when Atzal got a call from someone who didn't wash their hands 3 times in the morning and subsequently had a donkey step on the top of their foot, the team took out some vinegar from their kit and told them to bathe in the Yom HaGadol. Now it's time for our 4-blot-back Chazara. Daf Kuf Hei. So the symbol Kuf Hei is hacker. So here goes. The Russian hackers, that means we're on Daf Kuf Hei. The Russian hackers couldn't figure out the password was Anochi, which reminds us, the Gemara brings several instances of the Torah using abbreviations, Lashon HaTrikon. For example, Rabbi Yochanan said the word Anochi from the Aseret Hadibros is an acronym for Ana Nafshik Sivas Yahavis, I myself wrote and gave the Torah. The Rabban said Anochi is an acronym for Amir Ne'ima Ksiva Yehiva, a pleasant statement was written and given, and some say that Anochi should be expanded backwards. Yehiva Ksiva Ne'amani Memorel, it was given in writing reliable art statements. So the Russian hackers couldn't figure out the password was Anochi, so they tore their garments in anger, which reminds us, Rabbi Avin initially suggested that tearing a garment in anger is also an act of Masakin, a rectifying act, and can make one liable, the Ka'avid Nachas Ruas Yitzro, since he's satisfying his Yitzhahora by cooling off his anger. The Gemara challenges this notion based on a braisa that states in the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that one who in anger tears his garment or utensils or scatters his money should be in your eyes as one who is performing avodah zarah, for this is the way the Yitzhahora. Today it tells him to do this, the next day it tells him to do this, until it tells him to serve avodah zarah, and he goes ahead and he's ovid avodah zarah, he serves it. We see from here that tearing one's clothes in anger is not a constructive act because it increases the strength, the Yitzhahora. So the Gemara concludes that tearing one's garment is only constructive in a case where the person is not inwardly angry, but is displaying anger to strike fear on the members of his household. So the Russian hackers couldn't figure out the password was Anochi, so they tore their garments in anger and mourned the loss of wise people that would have been able to tell them. Which reminds us, the Gemara addresses the importance of mourning good and wise people. It was said in the name of Bar Kapara, Kol Mori Dumo, so Adam Kasher, Akash Baruch Hu Sofrim Manichim Bebais Ganazav. Anyone who sheds tears for an upright person, Akash Baruch Hu counts them and places them in his storehouse. It was said in the name of Rav, Kol Mitzatzel Behespedo Shel Chacham, Rui Lekover B'chayav. Anyone who acts lazily over giving a eulogy for Chacham is fit to be buried alive. Daf Kufav. So the Simper Kufav is a cub, is a tight walker walking on a thin line, a thin cub. So here goes. The tightrope walker, that means we're on Daf Kuvav. The tightrope walker holding fire was nervous about falling and wounding or burning the spectators below. Which reminds us, Rabbi Abo taught a brace that states, Kol makalkin baturin chutz mechovu umavir. All who act destructively are putter, except for one who wounds a person or burns something. The Gemara points out that this contradicts our mission that states, all inclusively, Kol makalkin baturin. All who act destructively are putter. The Gemara answers that the brace is going according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a person's chai for wounding and burning even when those acts are purely destructive. His source for wounding is based on the fact that Torah permits bris mil on Shabbos, which implies that for ordinary wounding, one is liable. His source for burning is that the Torah prohibits burning a bas kohen who committed adultery on Shabbos, which implies that ordinary burning makes one liable. So the tightrope walker holding fire was nervous about falling and wounding or burning the spectators below that were watching next to an enclosure of trapped deer, which reminds us that the next mission of the Perek introduces a machlokas tanaim regarding the malach of trapping. Rav Yehuda says one is chayv a chatas for trapping a bird by driving it into a closet or deer by driving it into a house. The Chachamim disagree with Rav Yehuda regarding the deer and say that it's also considered trapping if one drove it into a garden, courtyard, or enclosures, which are beivarim. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that not all enclosures are the same and introduces the following rule. Mechusar tzeda patur she'en mechusar tzeda chayv. If the animal still lacks trapping, meaning that it's still difficult to take hold of, then one is patur. If it doesn't lack further trapping, then one is chayiv. So the tightrope walker holding fire was nervous about falling and wounding or burning the spectators below, or watching next to an enclosure of trapped deer, many of them sick, lame, and old. Which reminds us, Abai asked Rabbi Yosef to clarify the difference between two cases in a braisa, where it was stated that one who traps a blind or sleeping deer is chayiv, where one who traps a lame, old, or sick deer is patur. Rabbi Yosef replied that blind and sleeping deer are prone to slip away when they sense a person is there, whereas the lame, old, sick deer do not. Rav Sheshes further clarifies that another braisa that stated that one is chayv for trapping a sick deer was referring to a deer sick with fever that can run away, therefore by catching it, one is trapping the animal. However, the braisa that states that one is patur was referring to a deer sick with fatigue, which is not able to run away, and therefore it's considered as if it's already trapped. Daf Kuf Zayin. So the symbol Kuf Zayin is couscous. So here goes. The person eating couscous, that must mean run Daf Kuf Zayin. The person eating couscous, who was overjoyed when he found out he was completely exempt from lancing his boil, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Kupaturi de Shabbos Pater wa Aser, Labar Mahani Tlas. Any place where the halacha states Pater, it means that one is not liable midaraisa, however, it is still forbidden midarabbanan, except for the following three cases where the word Pater means Pater even midarabbanan. If one person sat in a doorway and blocked it completely, trapping an animal, and then a second person came and sat down beside him, even though the first person got up and went away and the doorway is now being blocked by the second person, the first person is liable and the second person is completely putter. The second case is Hamapis Morsim B'Shabbos. If one punctures a boil to remove the pus, he is putter. Rashi explains that he's not liable in the race since nothing has been rectified, and no Drabbanan was enacted in this case either because the person is in pain. And the third case is one who traps a snake on Shabbos so that it will not bite him is putter. Tosfos and Daf Gimel Amud Aleph explains the case where the snake bite is not life-threatening. If it was, then it would be permitted to kill it on a deraisa level. So the person eating couscous, who was overjoyed when he found out he was completely exempt from lancing his boil, lost his appetite when a bruised sheretz got trapped in his bowl. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the 14th parak states that one who traps or bruises one of the 8 shrutzim that are mentioned in the Torah is chayiv. One is not chayiv for bruising all other shkatzim or ramasim, all other vermin and crawling things, since they do not have hides, as Rashi explains. But one is chayiv for trapping them. This is provided he needs them for some positive reason, like an ingredient for medicine. Rashi explains that the reason one is chayiv for trapping these 8 shratzim is that they are typically hunted. He provides 2 possible reasons why bruising them is forbidden. Bruising is either a tolda of shechita, since one is taking the life from that part of the animal, or it's the malach of tzovei of dying, since the animal's skin is discolored by the bruise. So the person eating couscous, who was overjoyed when he found out he was completely exempt from lancing his boil, lost his appetite when a bruised sheretz got trapped in his bowl and killed a louse. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef explained the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabban whether one is chai for killing a louse on Shabbos is based on their understanding of the rams whose hides were used for the construction of the Mishkan. Rabbi Eliezer learns that just as killing the rams involved the taking of a life, so too the prohibition applies to anything whose killing involves the taking of a life, which would include a louse. The Rabbanan hold that just as rams reproduce, so too the prohibition applies to anything that reproduces. Therefore, one is not liable for killing lice since they do not reproduce. Rashi on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph says that they grow spontaneously from a person's skin. And the Aruch HaShulchan explains that they do reproduce, but since their eggs are too small to be seen by the naked eye, they are regarded as halachically non-existent. Daf Kuf Ches. So the symbol for Kuf Ches is a pickpocket. So here goes. The pickpocket, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Ches. The pickpocket stole the chicken skin from the Tulemacher's jacket, which reminds us, Rav Huna said that one may write tefillin on the hide of a kosher bird. Rav Yosef asks, what's the novelty of this ruling? It can't be to teach you that birds have a hide, as we already know that based on a Mishnah earlier that teaches that one who bruises beasts and birds is chayiv. So Abai said to Rav Yosef, Rav Huna is teaching a great deal, for we would have thought the hide of a kosher bird is not valid for tefillin, since a bird's hide is full of holes. And Rashi explains that the hide is holes, since it's perforated by its feathers. Abai explains that the holes are not problematic because, as they say in Eretz Yisrael, a hole which ink passes over and doesn't sink into is not considered a hole to render the parchment unfit to be used for tefillin. So the pickpocket stole the chicken skin from the tefillin macher's jacket while he was distracted at the Sudas Bris, which reminds us When Rav arrived in Bavel, Shmuel told Karna to test Rav. Karna asked Rav three questions, the third one being, where is it derived that bris milah is performed on that place, referring to the male member? Rav responded that it's learned from the Gezer Shavah from the Parsha of Orel, where it states, Orla so, it's blockage. Just as Orla refers to something that produces fruit, so too bris milah, which is the word Orla so, refers to something that produces fruit. The Gemara notes that there's an identical malchokas among the time Reb Oshia brings this Gezer Shavah, whereas Rabbi Nassan states the Gezer Shavah is not necessary. According to Rabbi Nassan, the proof comes from the Pasuk, Va'arl Zachar Asher Yimolas Boras Arla so, a blocked male, the flesh of his blockage, is not circumcised. This teaches that circumcision is performed on the place of the body where the difference between the male gender and the female gender are recognizable. So the pickpocket stole the chicken skin from the Tefillahmacher's jacket while he was distracted at the suited's bris, dipping his bread in salt water. Which reminds us, the next mission of the Perek deals with the Rabbanim making salt water on Shabbos. The Tanakh says that one may not prepare brine, heal me, but one may prepare salt water for dipping bread or adding to cooked food, meaning one may make a small amount. So Rabbi Yossi challenges the Tanakh Kamas since brine should have the same halach regardless of the quantity. He therefore states that making salt water is permissible if one adds oil to the water or to the salt before he mixes the water and salt together. And Rashi explains that mixing the oil in first weakens the mixture of salt and water, even though it also weakens the mixture if it's poured in afterwards. Doing so is forbidden, because putting the salt and water in first resembles the malacha of ma'abed, of tanning. And now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. Number 1, which daf do we discuss making salt water on Shabbos? That's on daf Kufches. Good. Number 2, which daf do we discuss or learn about proper responses to the loss of good or wise people? That's on daf Kufhei. Good. Number 3, which daf do we have a machos regarding killing a louse? That's on daf Kufzain. Good. Number 4, which daf do we learn about the importance of washing 3 times in the morning and the ruach ra that exists until we do? That's on daf Kuftes. Good. Number 5, which daf do we learn about the meaning behind the osios of the olive base? That's on daf Kuftal. Good. Number 6, which daf do we learn what Rabbi Shimon holds regarding chovel umavir that is purely destructive? That's on daf Kufav. Good. Number 7, which daf do we discuss whether it's mutter to use vinegar to heal a hand or foot on Shabbos? That's on daf Kuftes. Good. Number 8, which daf do we learn that striking a hammer on an anvil is a malacha? That's on daf Kufgimel. Good. Number 9, which daf do we learn that one can use chicken skin for tefillin? That's on daf Kufches. Good. And final question number 10, which daf do we have a question whether tearing a garment out of anger is masakin? That's on daf Kufhei. Good. Now we've got 3 bonus questions with Maseches Brachas. Which daf do we have a machlokes regarding which is more adif, mean shivor or chaviv? That's on daf Mem Aleph. Good. Number 2, which daf do we discuss the brachas of Shechiyanu and Mechayim Mesim? That's on daf Nun Tesk. Good. And finally, question number 3, which daf do we learn that people dream about what they think about during the day? That's on daf Nun Vav. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz, plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.